Well, it is rather with regret that I tell you this morning that I have decided not to continue the review questions, at least for some time, because of the amount of time that it took and the number of people that were using it. It was dwindling. And so, at least at this point, I won't continue those at this time. My wife and I were listening to a tape a while ago as we were driving, and the preacher told a story of an elderly man sitting on a park bench, and he was very sad. He was weeping as he sat there on this park bench, and a passerby felt sorry for him and stopped, sat down beside him and talked to him and asked him if he was having problems at home or what might it be. And oh no, the old man said, no problems at home. He said, matter of fact, and he was an older man, he said, I've just married a 25-year-old woman, and she just loves me, and she's a good cook, and she just cares for me. She does everything anybody could wish. She's really a wonderful wife. I couldn't wish for more. And this man said, well, what's the problem then? Well, he said, I can't remember where home is. I thought of it this morning, maybe after so long a time in Genesis, you can't remember where we are either. Maybe you lost track where we are. Oh, we turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 this morning. Genesis chapter 1. Thank you, Henry. Chapter 1 and verse 26. And I want to cover a rather lengthy section this morning. We may go a little over time this morning. Trust, maybe I can shrink things down a little bit this morning. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb of the field that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruits yield seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We've been looking at creation, the creation week, and as I consider our world in light of where we are and where it seems to me that this world is heading, I see more and more how important these chapters are to our understanding, how they will set our path and keep us on the straight and narrow as we enter the age before us. We looked at day one, the creation of the heavens and the earth, creation of light, and then day two, creation of the atmosphere, day three, the dry land and vegetation, day four, the sun, moon, and stars, and day five, the birds and the fish, and day six, animals, and then on the second part of day six, God began to create man. And it is at this point that we left our last message. And we want to begin this morning by looking at the dominion of man. Verse 26, God said that he would make man in his own image. And then he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over all cattle, and over all the earth. Man was to have dominion over God's creation. Actually, man is like God in this sense of dominion. As I watch children play. I've observed it in my own family. I've seen how my daughters look at my son sometimes and the things that he does. And I see in this the dominion that God has placed in man. In various ways, we can see the dominion that God placed in man. Most of our young people, I really am encouraged when young people like to hunt and to fish. I think those are such healthy things to be involved in. A lot of our young people like to hunt. They like to sit somewhere and wait for deer, or maybe go moose hunting, or set up a blind and lure in the geese until they come close enough to shoot them. As a matter of fact, one time I said, if you have a little extra geese sometime, actually I wouldn't mind trying some of those. A couple days later they pulled in this pickup box full of geese. If you want geese, just let our young people know. They'll take care of you. You know what it is in man that makes him that way? It's right back here in Genesis. God said, let them have dominion. I like to fish. I like to wait and try to catch those big ones. You know what it is in man that makes him like that? God said, let them have dominion. We love to have dominion. Matter of fact, last summer my daughter bought a horse. I like this horse because this horse has fire. It has fire, you know. I taught it to run this summer, and you can just barely hold this thing. It just likes to go. It's, you know, it's dominion. We like to have dominion. God said, let them have dominion. And this comes from back here in Genesis. Now, God did not only say that man was to have dominion. I want you to look at verse 28. Then God blessed them. Now, verse 27, he talks about creating man in his own image and likeness, and we've spoken about that. Verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. The subduing part is the dominion. But here man is commanded to fill the earth. When God blessed man, we saw earlier in Genesis, when God blessed the animals, he said to the animals that they were to fill the earth, or so on, reproduce. God blessed them. That is, he gave them the ability to do what he had commanded them to do. When God created man, he told him to fill the earth, and then he blessed man. He gave man the power to do that which he had commanded him to do. Now, there is stamped into the average American the picture of the ideal family. It's a husband and a wife with a boy and a girl, preferably the boy's older. We had this course, Growing Kids God's Way. That's a complaint I have about the course. They have this picture. That is not a biblical picture. It may be American, but it is not biblical. The Bible says we are to add. No. It says to multiply. Not right. We are to multiply in the earth. You can't multiply by having one or two children, right? Now, if God only blesses to that extent, that is up to God. But that is not multiplication. Matter of fact, this world would never be filled if that's what people did. Never be filled. And God told us to fill the earth. Isn't that what he said here? Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. That's what he said here in this verse. Now, we have in our era the fear of overpopulating the earth. Have you heard of this? Overpopulation, the fear. I want to relieve the Mennonite people of this fear. No, matter of fact, I suppose Mennonites have taken the least fear of this overpopulation. But it is something that is going on in our society. As a matter of fact, our children are being subtly taught this in the schools. Do you understand that? They are taught this. As a matter of fact, my daughter was taking Alberta correspondence education, and in social studies, they were indoctrinating her to have a small family. How did it happen? Well, she had this social studies question. It's talked about population control, overpopulation, and so on. And her question was, what do you think should be done about this? Taking it for granted that it is a problem. It's not even a problem. We haven't even come close to filling this earth as God commanded. We haven't even come close. She said to me, Dad, what do I do? I said, well, just tell them what the Bible says. She said, well, what does the Bible say? Well, I said, you know, one of the things the Bible never talks about is fear of filling the earth. You won't find that anywhere. The Bible does talk about this, that if God let mankind go, you know what would happen? Not overpopulation, annihilation would happen. Not overpopulation. Matthew chapter 24 says that if he wouldn't shorten the days, there would no flesh be saved. Mankind would annihilate himself. Well, she started to study these passages and wrote her paper at the expense of points because she didn't answer the way she was supposed to answer. You see, it is not overpopulation that is the problem. God said here, multiply and fill the earth. God never told man to manage birth. Never in all the Bible did God tell man to manage it because they might overpopulate and so on. Well, in our text this morning, we have an imperative. It's a command. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, we are far from filling this earth, but the increase is rapid enough in our time that overpopulation is kind of becoming a fear. I want you to note very carefully that God never told us to manage population growth. Never told us to do that. He said, fill the earth. That's a command from God so we can trust God knows what he is doing. So I comfort you this morning with larger families. God said, multiply and fill the earth. God never worried about overpopulation. You don't need to either. We don't need to worry about that. You know, there was we had a man in Vanderhoof. The weebs will understand this. He was a weeb, right? There are a lot of weebs in this world. Well, the doctor told him, said, you know, your wife really is not healthy. I really don't think it's wise for you to have a larger family. They have a large family already. This man said, well, you know, he said over there in Genesis, it says multiply and fill the earth. And the wise doctor said, yeah, but not just from your family. God blessed man. God said multiply and fill the earth. Here is a responsibility God has given to man, and it is ours to do. Now, I want you to notice for a moment this morning the provision for man. Verse 29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. In Genesis 1:29-30, we find that man was a vegetarian at creation. Actually, man would be a vegetarian for 1,600 years or thereabout. For 1,600 years. And then after that, I'd like you to turn to Genesis 9 for a moment, because in our day we have so many diet concerns and concerns about eating meat and so on. Genesis chapter 9. Verses 1 through 3, we have a change that takes place from being a vegetarian to eating meat. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and the fear of you, the dread of you, shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that moves on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. And so here God said, you may now eat meat. You may eat the meat just like the vegetables. And so in our day of great concern here, let me quickly have you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. When we talk about diets and the concerns about these things, very important verses, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5, speaking of the latter times, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. Number one, by the word of God, because God said you may eat it. Number two, by prayer, bowing our heads and saying, thank you, Lord, for this food. And it is sanctified then by both. And so, personally, I don't give too much heed to diets. We do have to be careful. There are some areas in which we do have to watch. But I know there are a lot of diets, concerns for hearts and so on. I think the concern in some of those areas that aren't mentioned are the anxieties we allow in life. I think that what our outward situation is like affects much of the food of what we eat. So that a right standing with God, being at peace between me and God, and thanking Him for my food, is great. That's where it is. Now that's personal opinion. You can take that where it is for you. Well, I've gone over these verses rather quickly. You know that I usually don't go over verses this quickly. That is so I can leave some time in the conclusion this morning to work or deal with a few issues that I see on the near horizon for the church with regard to the creation of man and animals. We have come to the conclusion of the active part of creation week, Genesis 1, verse 31. And at the close of the sixth day, God looked at everything that He had made, and He said that it was very good. This is the seventh time that He said it was good, but the first time that He said it was very good. The works of creation are finished. They are done. 6 days, and it is done. Now, I want to take up an issue this morning because of the age in which we live. I have sought to emphasize to you the difference between man and animal. I will do so again in chapter 2. The reason is because if you will understand those things, they will guide you in days ahead. But a failure to understand these things will potentially cause great confusion in days ahead. The days that I see on the horizon as I look through Scripture at what lies before us. I have stressed in particular the fact that 10 times we are told that everything brings forth after its kind. We have moved in our time to what has been labeled the postmodern time. No longer are we considered to be in modernism, we're considered to be in postmodernism. Mankind made the transition from biblical theism, which believes in God, God made me, to modernism, which says, I am the most important thing in the world. Man is the measure of all things. That's modernism, I guess, in short. Man is the measure of all things. And from modernism really deified man, set man up on a high pedestal. And from modernism, we are now moving into what is called postmodernism, and postmodernism does no longer see great importance on the individual as did modernism. It will have tremendous ramifications in the future. As a matter of fact, I see on the future the possibility of having no problem with erasing certain kinds of people groups if it doesn't serve the world. It's a thinking shift that is coming, although it looks almost impossible to come about. It's a thinking shift that is coming in our world. It's born already. It's alive today, postmodernism. Now, while postmodernism is climbing the ladder to leadership, the scientific world is moving ahead in areas like genetic engineering. Recently, some of you may have read, Dolly was born in Scotland. Dolly is a sheep. And Dolly was cloned from an adult sheep and is a twin to the adult. We read in Genesis, everything brings forth after its kind. Man is now working. Man has tried to break that law, everything bringing forth after its kind, for many years already. But they are making great progress now in various areas. Now, some people were wondering, well, what would happen? Let's say you have a son who has just been killed and they want to take a living cell yet and clone your son so you have another one. Well, now, I was just handed an article here this morning about this person who cloned these sheep already having had requests for that. Cloning people. Well, Dolly raises great ethical questions on what is right and what is wrong. But now even more difficult questions are being raised by the practice of transgenics. In July of this year, Polly was born. Polly, too, is a sheep. Polly carries human genes in her body. They have been spliced into her. Polly and four other lambs are being raised to produce human blood products and proteins for medical use for humans. The article I was reading raised this question, is Polly part human? Listen to this paragraph. Potatoes, snails, amoebas, sheep, and human all have the same codons to convey information about body plans and operations. Codons can be cut and spliced between species, and biotech corporations' stocks are soaring as they rush to be first to develop promising human-animal hybrids. PPL is currently working on pigs with human genes for heart transplants. Now, it raises tremendous ethical questions. When you look at the new age that is coming and these possibilities, young people, could I encourage you this morning to study your Bibles? You are no match for what's ahead. I tell you, young people, what your mom and dad, what my generation has faced is nothing. Unless I read the future wrong. What we have faced is nothing compared to what you will face, and you will not stand. You will not if you do not know the Word of God. You will not. You will not. Genesis 1, God created man in the image of his own son, will keep you on such a straight path if you will, but only believe it in your heart and study the truth. But it will be very crucial because the arguments and the things that these people are coming with, you are no match for unless you know the Word of God. I want to encourage you to study the Word of God. Well, another scientific breakthrough, some Plymouth Rock chicks were hatched. They looked just like Plymouth Rock chicks, but they didn't act like it. They would not listen to their mother hen, as chicks usually do, but they listened to Japanese quail when they sounded a warning. Do you know why? Some genes were chosen from a Japanese quail brain and put into the egg before it hatched, and now these chicks have these Japanese quail genes in the brain. These things that are now happening have large ramifications for the future. Mix that in with the new age, and I just don't know what to make of the future except to raise high red flags for you. It was coming. Well, the latest Christian Research Journal gives a number of ethical questions being raised by genetic engineering. Listen to this one. A child is conceived in California for the purpose of serving as a bone marrow donor for an older sibling. The cells are harvested and her sister lives. But what about the child that was conceived? It is not only possible, but also legal, to create human life for spare parts. I don't know. Do the ramifications of that sink in? The same article later says the door is opening to, listen, reproductive consumerism. Did you understand? Reproductive consumerism. Selling. Question. Did God know all this would take place? I find in this another evidence, my friends, I find another evidence that we are going to close off this section of time very soon, and the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to occur, and we're going to go to glory. As I meditated on these fearful possibilities of reproductive consumerism, my mind flew to Revelation chapter 18, verse 12. The connection just became immediate. I'd like you to turn to that. Revelation chapter 18. We're talking here about modern Babylon and what will happen to her in the tribulation time. Revelation chapter 18. Let me read from verse 11. And the merchants of the earth will weep. Now this modern Babylon has been destroyed during the tribulation. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore. But what kind of merchandise was there in modern Babylon? Number one, gold. Well, that's nothing new. That's number one in any big place today. Gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet. Every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood. Bronze, iron, marble, you name it, modern Babylon had it. Cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, maybe Dolly and Polly, right? Horses and chariots. And, now listen, bodies and souls of men. Merchandise. Reproductive consumerism may be. You see, the old King James came along, the translators came along, the day was so far removed from our day, they said that this word bodies can't mean bodies. It must mean something else, so what could it mean? Well, the only other thing they could make sense of was slaves, so they put in the word slaves. If you have the old King James version this morning, it reads slaves. Why? It's not because the word is slaves. The word is bodies. Why did they put in the word slaves? Because they could not understand anybody making merchandise of bodies. My friends, today when I read what I've read here, you can see it so clearly. Merchandise made of bodies. People raised for spare parts. And it's fearful. But God knew about it. From the sound of this text, I would say that's what will be happening in the future. Yet they will actually go ahead and do this and conceive people for spare parts. But what about the person? What about the person? Well, the time is upon us, and I want to warn you this morning to study the Word of God. It is the only thing that will keep us on the straight and narrow in the future. I've seen anew how crucial are these first three chapters in Genesis. Actually, I'm amazed again and again at how up-to-date the Bible is. As soon as something new comes along, you see in the Bible, wow, there it is. What we couldn't understand up until now, there it is. But I want to encourage you this morning with this good news. Jesus is coming soon. I really believe it won't be long. We're going to hear the trumpet sound, and the Lord will come and remove His people. I trust in that. In light of the present world in which we live. Well, may the Lord bless you and teach you and help you to see the importance of learning and understanding the Word of God.